Welcome to Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling. My name is Pat Poling. I'm the founder and CEO of Mara Poling. Happy to be with you today to discuss a topic of interest in the multifamily space, one that I actually really enjoy a lot. I enjoy all of our topics, but this one in particular, it's really at the heart of so much of what we do, and that is net operating income. It's really amazing what net operating income does and how it is in the middle of every single thing that happens in a multifamily real estate investment. So today, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how it's involved in driving returns, both in terms of growth and cash. We'll talk about how NOI gives importance to the different strategies and the different activities that we're involved in, and that it ultimately is what dictates priorities. And then we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about how NOI actually functions from a business standpoint, because again, remember, we don't invest in properties. Yes, they're real estate assets, and there's a lot of wonderful things about them being real estate. Tax in particular is a nice thing. But we're effectively buying a business every time we buy a multifamily property. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. I hope you enjoy what we're going to go through today. If you have any questions, shoot me an email, pat@marapoling.com. Do not forget to swing by the Learning Center at marapoling.com and check out all the great content we have there. That's marapoling.com. And I don't want to overpromise because we teased this way back near the beginning of the year, but I think we're getting pretty close to having the next generation of marapoling.com ready for public consumption, and I hope to be making an announcement about that soon. So go take a look at the current version we have, and then hopefully when we get the new one up, you'll enjoy that even more. So net operating income, here's how this came up. We're working on the materials for the Math for Multifamily webinar. By the time you hear this, the session is either underway or it's already happened. And if that's the case and you'd like to learn more about Math for Multifamily Real Estate and you weren't registered and you didn't get a copy of the presentation, we'll have it available on the website here not too far out in the future, but you can also just shoot me an email, and I'll be happy to send you the link to that. So as we were putting all those materials together, it just reinforced what we already knew, and that is the central importance, the key element of all of multifamily that is net operating income. So very briefly, without going into all the math, net operating income is tenants pay rent. We take that rent. We pay a bunch of expenses like property taxes and the staff and all sorts of other good things. And the money that's left over is net operating income. That's before we pay any mortgage that we have and before we pay, for example, someone like us, a sponsor that does that work. And the reason it's before all of those things is that provides us with a really great tool to be able to analyze the performance of an asset against other assets, because NOI to NOI to NOI are going to be comparative without worrying about whether or not one of those properties is 80% levered and another one's 50% and another one is owned free and clear. So there's just a quick blurb on the math. So one of the things that's really amazing about NOI, as I said, is its centrality to returns. I get a lot of questions, obviously, when I chat with folks about, so what kind of cash return do you think I can expect over this period of time? And over that same period of time, how much will my investment grow? If I put a dollar in today, what's it going to be 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now? Well, the answer to that is NOI. NOI is the driver behind value and the driver behind cash. Again, tenants pay rent and some other income items, right? Laundry and pet fees and those things. And then we take those dollars and we pay all the operating expenses. That cash that's left over, that is the cash that if we were going to sell the property, that's what somebody would actually be buying from us. They'd be buying that cash flow. Because our current loan doesn't have anything to do with it. They're going to get their own loan. And if I get paid a very small amount, or I do what I do for free, or there's not a me, right? This is a property you own yourselves, or I get a huge check. Those things don't matter because those are all below the line. They're after NOI. So you can really get a good sense of what you're selling. So if you want to sell and make some really good money, some growth, you want to drive NOI. You want to grow NOI. Conversely, by the way, when we're buying a property, yes, we look at the property and we look at all the real estate aspects of it. We're really buying a business, and we're buying a business that generates a certain amount of NOI today. And then we look at how we could grow that NOI, and that's what our underwriting tools do. So NOI is central to that piece of the return, the growth component. Now, it plays an equally important role in the generation of cash. Because if you think about it, let's walk through how we generate cash. Tenants pay rent, we pay operating expenses, we pay the mortgage, and any other items that might be due the lender. For example, if there's CapEx reserves on a monthly basis that we pay. And then again, there may be some other cash expenses, expenses for management like ourselves, or you may have other expenses if you're operating this property on your own. After all is said and done, though, there's a chunk of cash that's left over. So how do you improve the amount of cash you can generate? You could reduce those below-the-line cash expenses, but they're relatively modest normally and kind of fixed. You could lower your debt service, and that could be done. You could either refinance and get new lower-cost debt. You'd spend some money to do that. Or you could simply pay down the debt that you have. And while that would save you some money in interest expense, it would increase your NOI, your long-term growth, because you'd be increasing the equity you have in the property. You're not going to really be changing your cash, because generally speaking, loans are going to be structured where the debt service is fixed, or it's fixed relative to an adjustable rate. It's not a function necessarily of what the outstanding principal might be at any time. So you're not going to move that terribly much. Well, then what's the other piece of it? Well, the other piece of it is NOI, and that's really the big lever. So if you want to move cash performance, it's not really about changing your loan downstream or doing something with those below-the-line expenses. You can deal with those things during the acquisition. It really is about driving NOI growth, which is going to mean either moving revenue up or holding expenses flat while revenue goes up, or reducing expenses, or some combination thereof that drives NOI. So if you're interested in improving cash performance and improving the growth and value of the asset, NOI is what's going to do that. And that, as I said, that's really not just the central value of NOI, but it's what then gives birth to all of the strategies that we use and sets the priorities for them. For example, why do we care about rent growth? Intuitively, we all understand why we care about it, right? If we can increase the amount of rent on average that tenants pay, we're going to make more money. That's a good thing for us. But how does that actually work? Well, by doing that, we increase the amount of gross potential income that the property has. And for a stable level of occupancy, and that's a key element here, for a stable level of occupancy, we'll see income rise. And as income rises, again, with stable OPEX, we'll see net operating income rise. So rent growth drives net operating income. So does value add. So in addition to the normal ongoing rent movements that we hope to execute on an asset, if we can implement a value add project, that will improve the amount of revenue that we generate, our income, and if it's done appropriately, right, if we've got a good project we put together, it will be proportionately a higher return than what we got on our original investment dollar. So, for example, if we put package lockers in at a facility and then made a very modest increase in rent or charged a package fee or whatever you might call it, but there was some incremental revenue that went with that, that incremental revenue, which shows up in the other income line, falls to total income and then drops all the way down again to NOI. So why do we like value add? We don't like value add just because it sounds cool and it's trendy. We like value add because it gives us the ability to drive rent growth, which ultimately drives NOI, and to do so more efficiently than the price we actually paid for the NOI that we bought up front. Vacancy. We can look at this the exact same way. Why do we care about how many units are vacant or how much bad debt we have or what level of concessions we're having to offer to affect our plan? If it didn't change NOI, I don't know that I would care. But that's why I care, because it does drive NOI. In the same way that rent growth can move NOI, a change in vacancy of any of those three factors I just mentioned, a change in vacancy will change NOI as well, either positively, favorably, or unfavorably, whichever way you'd like to describe it. So if we have an opportunity to improve the occupancy of the property and we increase concessions, and by increasing concessions, we're going to increase vacancy, therefore we're going to lower NOI, and those concessions pay off, meaning that we are able to reduce our physical vacancy two or three times the amount of that concession cost, then we'll see a net decrease in vacancy, which increases our income, which after you pass through OPEX, gives us a higher net operating income. So that's why we like vacancy improvement, is because it moves net operating income. Now, all of those items I just mentioned are in that revenue section, right? It's gross revenues and vacancies and other incomes. What about operating expenses? Well, one of the things we can do for operating expenses, and again, this strategy is born out of wanting to drive NOI growth over time, and that is to manage operating expenses. Now, some of our operating expenses are fairly fixed and knowable. For example, we know what size staff we need for the property. That tends not to change, although if we were undertaking some large capital effort and we're going to internally staff it, we'd see that, but those are capital dollars, not expense dollars. And we have a pretty good idea of not only what we pay those folks, but we can forecast what we think those costs will be over time. Now, some of those are a little more challenging to forecast. For example, what's the cost going to be of healthcare plans and those things. But generally speaking, that's a number we can probably get pretty good. But there's other numbers that have a lot more volatility to them. For example, insurance. Insurance can actually move around quite a bit, especially if there's been geographic claims, right? So if you've been, if you've got a property that's in a hurricane zone and you've been subject to a hurricane, even if your property wasn't affected, you might see an increase in rates. Same with tornadoes or fires out west or any of those kinds of things. So insurance could have some volatility. Property taxes, again, depending upon where you are, property taxes could be volatile. Some of the other items, though, there's a lot more control, repairs and maintenance and turnover. Intelligent investment of capital can reduce repairs and maintenance expenses, which does two wonderful things. One, that will lower operating expenses, which improves net operating income, which drives value and cash. The other is, if we made investments that improve the performance of the property from a repairs and maintenance standpoint, then tenants are going to have a more positive experience. And tenants having positive experiences gets monetized at some point in time, either by virtue of higher rents at renewals, better word of mouth, higher lease-up rates, any number of factors. So all of those strategies are driven by this focus on moving the NOI needle. What can we do to stabilize NOI and then drive consistent growth in it over time? Now, the last thought that I want to share with you goes back to something I mentioned kind of near the beginning, and that was when we're buying an asset, we're not really buying a piece of real estate. Yes, legally that's what it is, and the titles say all that, and the surveys, and all that other good stuff. We're buying a business. We're buying a business that generates $1 million or $2 million a year in gross revenues and generates a certain amount of, we call net operating income. In the business world, it's often referred to as EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, and depreciation, right? So that's what we're purchasing. We're purchasing that NOI, and when it comes time for us to sell, we're selling a business. And we can talk all we want about how pretty the property looks. All of that needs to be something that can be monetized, that will move the needle so that a buyer is going to be interested in purchasing the property because they see an opportunity to improve NOI going forward. And that's one of the reasons why cap rates are an interesting topic to talk about at a high level, but on an actual specific individual property, they kind of become less important and almost disappear. Because if it's a six cap market and we have a property that we have, I will say, over improved, where there's literally nothing left to be done to move NOI, we may not even get a six cap. We might be in the low sixes. Conversely, if we've got a solid performing property in which there is still considerable upside, that ability to move the NOI needle more going forward will attract more buyers. And more buyers means more demand against the supply of one of our property, which means the price goes up and the cap rate goes down. And while cap rates seem like they have a lot of leverage, right? The difference between a five cap and a eight cap, as an example, granted, that's a pretty big gap. You know, at a five cap, you're going to get $20 for every dollar of NOI that you're selling. Whereas at an eight cap, you're only getting $12.50. Well, that's a pretty big difference. Well, the reality is we're really not living in an environment where we're going to see those kinds of swings. It's more like if it is a five cap market, you might be looking at a high four or a low five kind of number. But if you use that five number, and let's just do that. So it's $20 in value created for every incremental dollar of NOI. That's an enormously large lever. And that reinforces, as I said, the centrality of NOI. If we can drive NOI, if we drive it $10, we just created $200 in value. If we can generate an additional $1,000 in net operating income, which over the course of a year, you're talking about 80 some odd dollars a month. That seems like it's almost instant that you could go out and find something to do that. That's an extra $20,000 in value we just created because of the leverage provided by a cap rate. And again, you're not going to sell at a five. It might be high fours. It might be low fives. It's going to be a function of what the value of your property is in the supply and demand of that marketplace at that point in time. But using a cap rate for estimating purposes like this can be really helpful, and it helps illustrate the value of NOI. So the next time you're looking at financial statements, whether it's the financial statements for your own assets that you own and that you manage, or if you're a member of the Mara Poling Total Return Fund or work with us and you're looking at the quarterly financial reports, or you're working with another sponsor and you're looking at the financials you get from them, you want to look at that NOI number because those are the opportunities. What's the opportunity to move that NOI number as we go forward? And that's where we're going to ultimately not only drive value, but we're going to improve cash performance over time. So I hope you found all this valuable. As I said, shoot me an email with any questions you have. Please stop by the website so that you can take a look at some of the material that we have there. And again, I hope to be making an announcement soon about the update to the website. Until then, I hope you are subscribed. If you're not, please do so. And don't forget to join us again next week for another episode of Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling.